You're listening to Coffee Chat on WKXL 1450 AM and 103.9 FM, your hometown radio celebrating Concord and the Capital Region. I'm Doris Ballard. Well, my guest this morning is so full of energy, I just want to jump out of this chair and be just like her. I mean, she is amazing. She has a career, a stellar career, that brought her to this place that she's here to talk about, and which is, she is Miss New Hampshire Senior America, and she's going on to be competing very soon at a national level, yes, for the national finals at Harrah's Resort Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey in October, and we're going to hear all about that and her experience. But first of all, I've got to introduce her. Her name is Diane Durkin. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've never met before, but you are just so friendly and so personable, and I can see just by looking at you. I wish everyone could see you, and we should send them to the website, because I want them to see what you look like. And we'll send them to your business,
which is
loyaltyfactor.com.
Yes, www.loyaltyfactor.com.
Okay, and I do want to talk in detail about your business, because I feel that everything you've done up till now has made you the clear winner.
Thank you.
All right, I want to talk about your career. We talk about the glass ceiling for women in big corporation, in big, the big corporate world, and it's tough to compete, but you pulled it off. I mean, you were really you've achieved a lot of success. Tell us about your career with Digital GE and what it is exactly that you did to achieve such success.
Well, I don't know if I really broke the glass ceiling.
Well, I know, but you shattered it a little bit.
We tried.
Yes, right.
I started off with Gulf Oil Corporation a number of years ago as a financial analyst, and then I moved into GE Information Systems. And I was actually in the Northeast region as a technical support person. And one day my boss came to me and he said, "You belong in sales." And I said, "No, not me. I'm not a Fuller Brush man," basically. And he said, no, and I'll make a deal with you. You go into sales for 3 months, and if you don't like it, you can have your old job back. So I did, and I became their top first woman and their top salesperson. After that, Digital recruited me to head up their sales training organization. And I stayed with Digital for 16 years. It was a great, great company, a great job. And I moved up through the ranks of Digital to the point that when I left, I ran their largest marketing, international marketing program. And I had about 700 people around the country, around the world, actually, who worked for me. We had set up these centers around the world so that we had a chemical center, we had a finance center, we had an aerospace center. And customers could go into these centers and actually see how our computers would manage their businesses. Mm-hmm. So it was an exciting time. It was a wonderful time. And I just enjoyed every single minute of it.
Now, you have an interesting approach to business, which we'll get into, which helped. You wrote two books. You're involved in writing two books. And we'll talk about your business and how your background has everything in your experience was brought to full circle with your business and helping other companies to learn the secret, I'd say, about gaining customer loyalty to your brand. Yeah. But first of all, most of us have a right brain and a left brain that are, one is more powerful than another. I don't know how else to say it. But you say that both sides of your brain are equally functional.
Right.
Find that out? You've been tested.
I've been tested a number of times. There's a lot of different assessments that you can take, and every single time I take it, my left brain and my right brain are exactly equal. So I can look at a financial statement and figure out where this company is losing money or making money and what they need to do, and then I can go and talk to the marketing department and come up with the most creative ideas on how to market themselves. And that also with the sales piece as well. So I'm very, very fortunate, and I feel very fortunate to be able to do. I mean, when you think about, I started off as a technical support rep and doing all the techie stuff and then moving into sales and then into marketing. I mean,
You're the whole package, right.
It just shows the left brain and the right brain combination.
Now, you have a master's in math. So you're no slouch, I'll tell you. Anybody who has a male or female who has a master's in math has got to be near genius as far as I'm concerned. And so at what point did you realize you wanted to go in that direction in your life?
In the math,
the numbers, people side of life.
That was very interesting because in my undergraduate work, I was an elementary education major. And I remember very distinctly, it was the second semester of my junior year, and I was sitting in my dorm room and I was drawing clowns to decorate the classroom for the next day. And I paid for my college education myself, and I was sitting there saying, I can't believe I just paid tuition to be drawing clowns. And so the next day I went to the dean's office and said I was going to change my major. And the one thing that I was really good at was math. Mm-hmm. And so she said, do you understand what you're doing? You're in the second semester of your junior year. Your senior year is going to be hell, basically, with physics and all this stuff. But I said it was well worth it because I really felt that I didn't want to waste my education. I shouldn't say waste it, but
right.
For me, that was not the career for me. So, and I honor all the teachers out there. They've
really?
Got patience of God, and they're wonderful. But it was just not for me.
And it's good that you realize that at that point.
I'm much more of a business person. So I went on, got my master's in math, and then went on to Duquesne University. And I got my bachelor's and then went on to Duquesne University and got my master's degree. And differential equations and it was interesting because when I did my thesis was written on how do you take this mathematics and apply it to the business world. And the return on investment. And I remember that it was so incredible, my three or four professors sitting there, and they just looked at me and they said, we don't quite understand what you're talking about.
Isn't that interesting, right?
Because at that time I was working for Gulf Oil, and I was able to take it and apply it
to what you did.
Exactly.
That's right. Was Gulf Oil the first really high-powered position you had out of college?
It was.
Right.
It was, and I was a financial analyst for them.
Who were some of your mentors at Gulf Oil? Were there any?
Yes. It was interesting because I was the only person that was not an MBA that worked in this group. And there were about eight of us in this group. It was a special group that looked at all of financial aspects of oil rigging and all that kind of stuff. And so they were my mentors. They were all MBAs. And here I was with a bachelor's degree in education and math. So I learned so much. I felt like I got my master's just working with those people.
Were they all men?
They were, every single one of them. Right. And they were high-powered. I mean, Wharton, Dartmouth, Harvard. I mean, it was not a slouch group. So I felt very, very fortunate to be part of that organization and to have been chosen to be part of that organization.
You must have been pinching yourself every day when you go to work.
Right? I was. I would walk into their offices, and I was a sponge.
Right.
I was basically a sponge. And I made sure I went to lunch every day with a different person so I could learn something new.
That's a great lesson to teach other young people, too.
Yeah. It's just if you've got that experience, just grab onto it and just ask questions. I always say questions are your secret weapon. And the more questions that you can ask, whether it's in a conflict situation, a negotiation situation, or just in a learning situation, questions are your secret weapon.
I'm learning already from you, right?
Great.
Okay. You are right at the peak when all the technology is booming at digital. And it was an easy time for so many in that field, and they were making all this money, even those that were probably not as qualified. You must have seen a lot of that.
I did. When I joined digital, I was fortunate in that they wanted me to go into sales, but because I'm such a workaholic, so to speak, my husband at the time was not very excited about that career. So I went into the sales training organization, and it worked out to be extremely beneficial for me. At that point, digital was hiring about 1,000 people a week in sales, and I managed the entire corporate sales training operation, from the skills to the product training and so forth. So I saw these people coming in every day, and I felt that I had truly made a difference in their lives. And really help them to launch their careers, which was really gratifying. I mean, that's what I tend to be about, right, is to helping others.
So you're becoming a mentor yourself.
Exactly.
Right. Now, the fact that you were then pulled into the sales end of the business, now looking back, was that person right in bringing you into that?
Absolutely.
I don't think I know the answer to that one, right?
Yeah, he had a vision that I didn't
have. That's right.
And that was just wonderful.
So you might have been stayed in the technical end of the business for the rest of your career.
Well,
do you think you ever would have gone into people end of it?
I think I would have moved out of it. I think I would have gone more into the people side, because I'm such a people person that I think I would have eventually moved out. But this was the impetus for me to do it at a quicker state.
So at the end of the 3 months, what happened? Was there ever another discussion about it?
No.
No,
it was never.
Right.
We just continued on. And,
okay, now digital, things were changing in technology, and so what happened at that point? What were you seeing as your future at that point?
As I said, I loved the company. Mm-hmm. It was very entrepreneurial. I probably learned more in my entire life at Digital than I did anywhere else, both about life as well as business and so forth. But there came to be a point where I saw that the company may not be going as well as it had. And I had the opportunity to start a family business. Mm-hmm. And my brother and I had always wanted to do a family business. And so the timing was perfect for me in the early 90s. And so I left Digital, and we started Mashonsky Enterprises, which is my maiden name. And it was a hat company. We manufactured sheepskin hats. Mm. And we went back to our home country, which is Poland. And the hat became the official hat for the Polish Olympic team. And we were able to go to the pre-Olympic Games as guests of Lech Walesa, the president of Poland at that time. And they were held in Zakopane. And it's interesting because my brother was just in Poland 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he went to Zakopane and took my niece and nephew. And they went to the place where we had a PR campaign, and on the wall was a picture of me with the hat.
That's great.
And they could not believe it.
That's great.
So it really worked out great.
Well, we're going to take our first break. We'll be back with Diane Durkin, Miss New Hampshire Senior America, and we'll talk about her business coming up, her next business venture, a very successful Loyalty Factor LLC is the name of it, building employee, customer, and brand loyalty is the slogan. And then, of course, we'll talk about her journey into this world of pageants as a winner of the Miss New Hampshire Senior America and going on to the nationals. So we'll be right back. This is Coffee Chat. I'm Doris Ballard. Welcome back. My guest this morning is Diane Durkin. She is Miss New Hampshire Senior America, and she has a background that is built on hard work and intelligence and success, and has had some wonderful mentors along the way, and is now a mentor to so many others in her life. And I've got to tell you, as Miss New Hampshire Senior America, and we'll be talking about that in a bit, she is going around talking to groups and in nursing homes, right, and in assisted living facilities. And
senior centers,
and you have a great new program now that's called 12 Ways to Live to 100, and we'll talk about that later. So just want to give people a little idea what's coming up. Before we talk about how it is that you became involved in deciding to enter the competition for New Hampshire Senior America, your business, Loyalty Factor LLC, how did that start? And what is it all about?
Well, it's all about building employee loyalty, customer loyalty, and brand loyalty, with the premise that your employee loyalty will drive your customer loyalty, mm-hmm. which will drive your brand recognition. And basically, it was I had a number of people say, Diane, you really should be in business for yourself. And so I put it sort of together, and a lot of people felt I was in human resources, which I really was never. I was always sales and marketing, but it was always putting it together. So we have two divisions. We have a consulting division and we have a training division. On the consulting side, we deal with anything that has to do with major change. It could be a merger and acquisition. It could be the repositioning of an organization. We're doing one right now, a manufacturing facility that needs to be repositioned for growth. We have another organization where the president called me and said, I want to get this company ready for sale. Mm-hmm. So we're working with him to get it prepared so that he can get the best possible dollar he can for it. And we've done a number of those. So it's all change on the consulting side. And then we have a whole training division where we concentrate on customer relationships, mm-hmm. training, leadership development. And we've become very well known for the concepts and our approach in how we do the whole leadership development, because it takes good leaders to really right. build that employee, customer, and brand loyalty.
So you started this in 1996, so it's been 13 years. And where is it? Has it changed from the day your initial vision, or has it stayed true to your vision?
I think it evolves, mm-hmm. but it's pretty much stayed true to the vision. I mean, my whole thing was I want to really make a difference in individuals' mm-hmm. lives as well as in company lives, is the way I say it. And so what we're trying to do is make it a better place to work, make it a better customer experience, and really build the brand.
Now, your first book, tell us about that. When did you write it, and how long were you in business before you wrote it?
Let's see. I think it came out in 1993.
So you wrote it before?
I mean, no, 1993.
2003. Yeah.
Exactly.
So you'd had that experience in your business, and you were able to apply it in your book.
And
so tell us about your book.
It's energizing mm-hmm. employees, customers, and the brand. And so there's three separate sections mm-hmm. in the book, one on building the employee loyalty, the customer loyalty. It has a lot of case studies in there. Some of my favorites are Starbucks, Southwest Airlines. Mm-hmm. I had the pleasure of interviewing the president of Southwest Airlines. Home Depot is in there, Wegmans, the great grocery store.
So you selected, you handpicked certain businesses.
Exactly.
And that must have been exciting for you as a person who is an entrepreneur and background in with digital and GE and Gulf Oil to actually meet some CEOs from other big companies.
Well, it was, and it was also great because there was cross industries. Mm-hmm. We made sure, you know, we had the food industry with Wegmans, we had the airline industry with Southwest, and we picked the best we could find
right.
in each of those categories, and to be able to interview them and tell their stories and why they are so successful mm-hmm. and, you know, how revenues really come as a result of the culture that they build. And it's really about the culture and hiring the right people for that culture.
That's a tough one.
It is.
That's a tough one, right.
It is.
Do you try to pass on information where companies can know how to hire the right person? And is there a technique? Is there a way to do that, to know how to do that?
There really is. And the company that I mentioned earlier that we're working with right now, it's a large international mm-hmm. Manufacturing facility. And we are really defining their culture. I will be down there next week, and the employees are defining what they want the culture to be like, and we're going to be presenting that to senior management. We're also working on, okay, so how do we hire to that culture? What are the questions? And this is what one of the people asked me just this morning, actually. Diane, you know, what questions do we ask in the interviewing process to make sure we're getting mm-hmm. to the culture and that we get people that are highly motivated, that really want to learn and grow, that really want to make a difference, that can feel proud of what they're doing? And there are a whole segment of questions that you can ask to really decipher right. that with a person.
Do you work with businesses of all sides, of all sizes,
yes.
I mean? In your business, loyalty factor?
We've worked with companies that are 15-person mm-hmm. organization to 6,000 people. So it's all over the map across all industries. We've done banks. We've done a lot of work with banks. We do a lot of work with hospitals, manufacturing facilities, pharmaceutical companies. Mm-hmm. So the whole gamut. Insurance companies we've also done. So it's really a gamut, and it's... It's great because public relation companies, believe it or not,
wow.
have come
yeah.
to us.
Interesting.
Architectural firms.
When you say we, tell us about the we behind your business.
We have a combination of staff employees as well as contractors, and there's 10 of us in total. I have mm-hmm. specifically kept it very small. A number of years ago, we had a number of investors that came mm-hmm. to us and wanted to give me lots of money.
Now, that's a good sign.
It was to Yay. Build the business, and I just felt I didn't want the pressure of investors, and so I decided to stay boutique, and I'm mm-hmm. thrilled that I did that. We have a very nice package, a very nice business, and we make a real big difference, and that's what counts.
All right. Well, we're speaking with Diane Durkin. If you're just tuning in, she is Miss New Hampshire Senior America, and she is going on to compete in the nationals very soon. And yes, when we return from our next break, we're going to find out what possessed her to enter this competition and what has it been like as the reigning queen in New Hampshire. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Coffee Chat. My guest this morning is Diane Durkin. She is Miss New Hampshire Senior America. And wow, do we ever have a great Miss New Hampshire Senior America. And you know what? Before we start talking about how you get involved, and I'm going to mention this again, if anyone listening, including myself, would like to go support you, there's a trip. There's a little trip to Atlantic City. The National Miss Senior America pageant, October 5th through 8th. It is produced by Festive Adventures in Manchester. It includes a deluxe motor coach transportation, 3 nights at the Tropicana in Atlantic City, tickets to the 2 final pageant shows at Harrah's, 30-slot bonus at Casino, 3 dinner or breakfast buffets, and $15 in food coupons, complimentary show at the Tropicana. It's double $399, triple $349, single $539 each. So sounds like a great time.
I think it's going to be great. And you get your meals. Plus, right. There's a shuttle bus from the Tropicana over to Harrah's for the pageant.
Right. And we're supporting you.
Exactly.
Diane Durkin.
And we'll have signs there with my picture.
I love
on
it.
Them,
I love
so
it.
So you can wave the signs.
I'm going to give the number now, and then I'm going to give the number again later.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of numbers. It's 1-877-337-8483. And that is 1-877-337-8483. And I'm going to give you that number at the end of the program. Okay. Why? How did you happen to enter? You've never been in a pageant in your life. You've been a successful businesswoman with the big, large successful companies like Digital and Gulf Oil and GE, and now you own your own business. You had a manufacturing firm in Poland, manufacturing hats that were picked up by the Olympic team, and you own a company now that brings you all around the country, meeting with other companies that you have a lot of employees entitled Loyalty Factor, and now you're going to enter competition for the Miss New Hampshire Senior America. What brought you to that place?
Well, I had a friend that was at the house one Sunday afternoon. We were reading the paper, and I saw this little piece about Miss Senior New Hampshire. And I said, have you ever heard of this? And she said, no. She says, what is it? I said, I don't know. It says Miss Senior New Hampshire. And she says, well, call, find out. So I called, and she said, you need to do this. And she's basically dared me to do it. And I said, yeah, but they want a talent. I don't have a talent. And she said, Diane, you are an incredible motivational speaker, and that is a talent. And as I thought about it, I said, you know, she's right. Now, she's like an opera singer, so she, you know, has a talent. And so I decided to do it. I signed up, and it's been an incredible experience. And I know Debbie is probably out there listening this morning, and I want to say, Debbie, thank you so much for making me do this, but it was great.
And your dad is listening right now, too, so we want to say hello to your father.
Yeah,
right?
Dad is out there. Thank you, Dad, for everything you've done for me.
Great. And hello, Dad. Right. All right. Let's talk about what happened. I mean, what was the pageant like? Bring us through a little bit of that experience.
Well, you have a number of rehearsals before the actual pageant date to rehearse. You know, there were 10 candidates, and we all have to rehearse the show, so to speak. And then the competition consists of interviews with judges. Instead of bathing suits at our age, we have what we call a philosophy of life, and that is 30 to 35 seconds long, and you give what your philosophy of life is. Then you have the talent competition, which is 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Very brief.
Very brief. For a motivational speaker, it's mm-hmm. like really brief to try to get your message out right. in 2 minutes and 45 seconds. And a lot of the people, you know, they sing, they dance, they tap dance. There was a lot of different types. Mm-hmm. We had one woman who raises oxen, and she did a slideshow on what she does. We had another woman who does flower arrangements, and so she showed how. And then we had piano players and so forth. So those were the various talents. And then you have your evening gown competition. So it's, you know, those four things. And then there's the judging. Right. You know, it's a point judging system. And whoever gets the highest number right. of points, of course, wins the competition.
Some of your competitors, had they been in pageants in their lifetime?
I don't think so. I know there was one woman who had competed the prior 1 or 2 years, but she was the only one that I know that had competed mm-hmm. prior to this particular competition.
Now, last year's reigning queen, did you get to know her a little bit?
I just got to know her the day of the pageant. Mm-hmm. Lovely lady, Peg Johnson from Londonderry. And she's just, I don't think Peg would mind if, I think she just had her 80th birthday.
Wow, that's amazing.
And she, talk about an amazing mm-hmm. woman. She also is out there advocating for teens, does court write-ups for mm-hmm. To support teens that may have gotten in trouble and so forth. She's she's very active in the Londonderry Senior Center, mm-hmm. and she's just a wonderful, wonderful woman.
So, was it everything you thought it was going to be? I mean, what did you think when you decided to enter the competition?
Well, I had no idea, really.
It's not really a beauty pageant, although you are beautiful. It's not really a beauty pageant. It's about the essence of being a leader and
right.
a
it's all about what they call it is the age of elegance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, turning into that age
I
where
love
you've
that.
Learned so much and putting it all to work. And that's really what it's all about. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I remember one of the things that the judges asked me, said, if, in fact, we were to crown you, what would you do? And I said, well, one of the things I really wanted to do was really expand the knowledge base of what this is all about, because mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was about, and I find most people don't. Most people don't even know that it existed. And so I had committed that I would make anywhere from 6 to 8 appearances per month to spread the word, and I've pretty much been tracking that throughout the year. The summer months have been a little less, but
I would think that would be a smart move, Diane, in that answer, giving that answer, because now you're able to help them promote.
Exactly. And I think it's something that, you know, we have an aging population mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. You know, all the baby boomers are becoming that magic 60. And I think not only women, but men, everyone mm-hmm. needs to understand that 60 is the new 40.
I'm very glad to hear you say that.
Yes, and we've still got a lot right. to offer, a lot
Absolutely.
Of energy. But it's interesting because it's not only been the seniors, but I've had a number of presentations to women's groups, and many of them don't know that mm-hmm. this exists. And some of them missed being Miss America when they were 22 or 23.
And this is another opportunity.
This is another opportunity, and they just light up. Mm-hmm. And it's just very interesting. So it's inspiring for women across all age groups.
Your philosophy of life, presentation, tell us about that.
My philosophy of life was, no matter what you do in this world, be the absolute best that you can be. And help others be the absolute best that they can be by learning and growing every day, sharing your knowledge, and always operating with honesty and integrity. Mm-hmm. And I really believe it's all about helping people make a difference and be the best that they can be. And so that was what I chose.
Do you remember any other of the questions that the judges asked you?
They did ask me about my business and my mm-hmm. background. And what motivated me to come to the pageant, which we have already
right.
talked about. And those were pretty much mm-hmm. the questions.
Did you get to know the other contestants at all?
Yeah, we through the rehearsals, we got to know one of them, Miss Congeniality. She was the perfect Miss Congeniality because she was just wonderful to everybody. But just before we went out for the finals, the zipper on my gown broke. And I had a backup gown with me, but I didn't want to wear the backup because I had already worn this particular one. And she said, "Don't panic, Diane, don't panic." And then she helped me zip it up. And then she says, "Don't worry about it. Your sash will cover it." And I never knew what she... And I can't thank Ellie enough. Uh-huh. She was wonderful. Many of the other contestants I know now because they're part of... We go around to assisted living facilities, nursing homes, and almost all of those contestants are now part of the variety show that we do at nursing homes. And so we've gotten very close and know each other. Carol Nugent, who plays the piano, is fabulous, and Pat Platt, she's the tap dancer, and Jeannie Tancred, who's a singer. I mean, and Hope Heath, she was the queen of New Hampshire in, 1998, and she has a voice that is beyond anything, and she is all part of this. And she also does the nationals. She sings at the national competition every year. So we have a lot of talent and a great group of women.
And life does not end in your 60s and 70s. It's just beginning.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
It's in another phase, another great time. All right, let's talk about your presentation, because you had to demonstrate a talent. There was a talent competition. And how did you... you had 2 minutes and 35 seconds to give a motivational speech?
Yes.
I can give a motivational speech, and the last paragraph is 2 minutes and 35 seconds. How did you pick a topic and narrow it down to that such a short period of time?
Well, the topic I have is building relationships that last the test of time. And the key to building relationships is how you communicate. And so what I decided to do is do a very small piece on communications. And what most people don't realize is that about 55% of your communications is the body language, 38% is the voice, and only 7% is the words that you use. So it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And so that is basically the message of what I talk about and how you build relationships.
And as you're saying that, you're making this presentation before a crowd in front of you. So the way you're saying it, they must have been thinking, I would have been thinking that. I'm saying, how is she presenting herself as she's speaking to me?
Right.
Is she living her words?
Right, exactly. And initially when I put it together, it turned out to be about 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so needless to say, I had to cut it back significantly.
What was the moment like when you were crowned the winner?
Surprise. I think I was really surprised because the people that were there, the talent was just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, truly phenomenal. The voices, the piano playing, I mean, everyone that was. And so I was surprised. I was thrilled. And having never done this before, I think I was shocked.
Mm-hmm. And who was there with you to share in your excitement?
There were a number of people from the office that were there, and they were cheering me on. Unfortunately, my parents couldn't be there, but which would have been great. Mm-hmm. But they
were there with you in spirit.
They were there in spirit. Exactly.
All right. So what's next? I mean, now what are you expecting at the national level? Is it pretty much going to be the same type of a format?
The format is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. All of the states have established a similar format. And the whole idea is that when you win the state competition, then you practice your philosophy of life. You practice your talent for the time before the national pageant. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there'll be all the states competing. I'm not sure all, I think there's like 40 or some odd states. Some of the states have not chosen to be part of the competition. So the competition will be tougher. I know that there's an incredible talent of people, not only singing, but there's one particular person that does an ad lib of poems and so forth. So it could be very interesting.
But the judges look for a lot more than the talent.
They do.
Talent comes in different packages.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's the whole package is what they're looking for. I mean, if you read the website, it talks about, you know, who can represent us on a national level. For example, the Queen this year, she just recently had an interview with President Obama and Michelle Obama. So they're looking for somebody that can represent the country in that way.
Well, I think you've got a great head start.
Thank you.
You're just tuning in. We're speaking with Diane Durkin. She is our reigning Miss New Hampshire Senior America, and we want to wish her well. She's going to be going off to the Nationals in October at Atlantic City. This doesn't get better than that. And we can all go. Yes, it's a great trip if you want to call and find out about it. There's a great little getaway. It's a tour that includes hotel, motor coach transportation. We get to go see Diane compete at Harrah's. And the number, as I promised you, I'm going to give it to you again, is 1-877-337-8483. If you are not around where you can write it down, you can always contact WKXL here, and we'll make sure that you get that phone number. Okay, so, and you can ask for Doris Ballard, and I will make sure I get it to you. Now, are you excited? You must be so excited.
I'm very excited.
What are you doing to prepare?
Well, I did get a personal trainer. not that I've been working out every day, but
doesn't look like you need it. But
I've been trying, and I just picked out my gown.
Color?
It's off-white.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So, it's pretty unique. So we're really looking forward to that. And then I'm in the process of getting little pins of New Hampshire pins that I will give to all the other contestants.
Do they do the same? Is that
a
tradition?
You're supposed to bring a little gift of some sort. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring, and usually it's the pins of the state. Mm-hmm. So we're getting those. And then we're also getting postcards of various parts of the state because you will exchange postcards with every of the other candidates just so that they can remember you and you put a note on it.
Oh, nice.
So you'll end up having each state that's there represented. And we're trying to get a crowd to come.
Right.
We've got about, I think, close to 20 people at this point that are planning on coming, family, friends, and so forth. And then, of course, I'm hoping to get the bus filled.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know what your next speech is going to be, your motivational speech?
It's going to be the same.
Good.
I'm
going to
stick with the same because once you've practiced it pretty much all year and it works pretty effectively. I've modified it slightly, but I'm going to stick with the same venue.
How has this affected the rest of your life, Diane? Your business specifically?
It's really, well, the business, I've sort of tried to keep it sort of separate. I mean, in interviews of this nature, it's a combination. But it has truly enhanced my life, is what I would say. I mean, I will have an incredible day at the office, and all of a sudden we'll have an appearance at an assisted living facility. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this. I get there, and I put a smile on a 90-year-old lady's face, or you know, somebody in a wheelchair who is really struggling, and you put the crown on them and they just light up like little Christmas trees. It's just you get home and you feel like you're going to attack the world.
That's wonderful. Well, we're going to take our final break, and we'll be back with Diane Durkin, Miss New Hampshire Senior America. I want to talk about the 12 ways to live to 100 before we wrap up the program. And again, give you that number if you want to join her in the National Miss Senior America pageant little tour in Atlantic City to see her compete and support her. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Coffee Chat.
Chair of the group.
Hello, we're back. And you know, we have the best conversations at break time. You know, it's true. My guest is Diane Durkin. She's Miss New Hampshire Senior America. And she is going to be competing in the Nationals in October. And the exact date of the competition is when, Diane?
It's October 6th is the preliminaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then October 7th are the finals. And that's when they're going to pick 10 finalists. and on October 7th, they will crown Miss Senior America.
Now, something else that I mentioned early on in the program is that you also have a presentation called 12 Ways to Live to 100. On the card that you presented here to me is everyone is always looking for the magic pill that will keep them young. Research is showing that more natural ways provide answers to the fountain of youth. Join Diane in becoming a centenarian. That's live to be 100, but you want to live to be 100 health in a healthy way. You don't
exactly.
want to be burdened, you know, and sick. So I won't even mention the 12 ways. I'll just mention a couple of them. Of course, exercise, we know that. That's the number one on your list. But then you include laughter in there, too.
Yeah, what's very interesting is the average child laughs about 21 times a mm-hmm. day, and this is a hefty laugh.
Right.
Whereas the average adult laughs 4 times a day.
And a hefty laugh probably 4 times a week.
Exactly.
I'd like to say.
Exactly. And laughter is really key. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, humor is one of the best ways to release tension
right.
And really feel good about yourself.
Sure.
And it's that whole positive thinking.
And you have a story to back this up that we're going to invite you to come back on the program at another time and want to hear about your story, which brought you into learning how to live a healthier life in a more natural way. And so you have a lot of great experience, and you want to pass that on.
I do. Yeah. I do. I really think, you know, some of the major things that you can do just to maintain good health, mm-hmm. energize yourself, and positive thinking are really what will help you. If you think about or interview any, now I'm going to say the word,
centenarians.
They always talk about
right.
the positive thinking.
That's right.
And laughter.
And it really does make a difference, right? So we have only a few seconds left. I want to thank you, Diane Durkin, Miss New Hampshire Senior America. I want to wish you well. Our thoughts and prayers will be with you so that you can be the next winner at the national level. I think you are fantastic. And I'm going to give your phone number now, the phone number they can call you if they want to know more about Loyalty Factor, your company, about maybe getting your books. You have 2 books. We didn't even mention the second one yet at all. And your presentation that you make on 12 Ways to Live to 100. And it is 334-3401. And that is area code 603-334-3401. Go to the website loyaltyfactor.com. You can always find her that way too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And you've been a pleasure. You've been inspirational to me as well. And I can get to see you.
I'm okay, hoping great. You get to yeah. Atlantic City
right.
as well.
Yes. All right. And thank you for tuning in to Coffee Chat, everyone. Have a great day. Bye now.